sometimes I know that I'm writing something that is going to cause people to send me hate mail. And this is one of those instances. So I've had just this knot of nervousness in my chest all week. But I also sincerely believe in what we're going to be talking about today. So send me your hate mail. I don't care. I feel like this conversation needs to be had. This is happening. I'm not sorry. This is Tina, and you're listening to This Ugly Beauty Business. It seems we're holding everyone responsible for their actions, using the power of social media to publicly shame shameful people. Abusers, harassers, racists, thieves, and those who treat service workers like trash are no longer safe in their assumption that their crimes will only be remembered for as long as the witnesses talk about it. No longer will they remain cocooned in the relatively anonymous nature of their physical descriptions. People cannot play the role of the woman at JCPenney who cursed out the cashier, or the old man who shouted racial slurs at a woman in the park, and walk away without consequences. Their crimes and abhorrent behaviors are recorded, uploaded, shared, swiftly attached to their real names, etched in digital stone, and woven into the potentially eternal fabric of the internet. So, and here's where this gets controversial. When are beauty workers going to start naming and shaming those who exploit them in the workplace? Salon owners, before we continue, let's have a chat. You are probably not going to like what you're about to hear. As a salon owner myself, I get that. Please understand that exploitative salon owners hurt our businesses by creating an atmosphere of unfair competition. Those of us who compensate and classify our employees legally incur far more costs than those who steal from their professionals and evade taxes. If you aren't intentionally exploiting your professionals, this post isn't about you. So you have nothing to be offended by. If you are intentionally exploiting your professionals, please do take offense. You deserve it. Professionals, I need answers from you. Why don't I see you on Instagram posting pictures of the $60 paycheck you brought home in exchange for 80 hours of your time? Where is your Facebook post about how your so-called employer doesn't deduct or remit taxes, but does deduct 20% from your paycheck for product fees? Where are your Snapchat stories explaining and displaying the insane contract you were asked to sign? Where are the videos of you confronting the salon landlord who unlawfully changed the locks to your suite and refuses to return your tools and equipment to you? Where are the screenshots of the abusive text messages from the employer who fired you for asking for reasonable accommodation? When will you demand that those who steal your wages, misclassify you to evade taxes, and deny you your rights be held accountable? Wage theft is the largest form of larceny in our economy, accounting for more than the $13.6 billion we lose each year due to other forms of theft, like burglary and vehicle theft. By paying less than the legal minimum wage, employers steal an estimated $15 billion every single year. This singular form of wage theft alone exceeds the estimated $14.7 billion lost annually to shoplifting. Nationally, it is estimated that workers are not paid at least $19 billion every year in overtime, and that $40 to $60 billion is not paid due to all forms of wage theft. You can and should report wage theft and misclassification to the Department of Labor, the IRS, and/or state agencies, but do so with the knowledge that you'll likely be waiting a long time for your case to be resolved, and that in an estimated 83% of the cases, even businesses that lose the dispute never paid back any wages. Sometimes you have to seek your own justice, but do so the right way, lest you find yourself in the defendant's chair learning a harsh lesson about defamation. Before you try to hold a salon owner accountable in a public forum, you need to know your rights. Don't embarrass yourself by making demands before you understand what you're legally entitled to and what you aren't. Before you make a statement, you need to be able to verify it, so keep your own records. Log your hours, your sales, and tips. Keep your records somewhere safe, either on your phone or at home. Those records will also be necessary if you ever want to make a claim with the Department of Labor or any other relevant agencies. Plan to have an adult conversation first. Many owners in our industry have no idea that they're breaking laws. Don't assume intent. I've linked an article in the actual blog post version of this and in the show notes of this podcast episode. You need to read it. Speak with someone before you put them on blast. Always assume ignorance and give the owner the benefit of the doubt until it becomes clear they don't deserve it. I absolutely do not recommend outing a salon owner or anyone until you've given them an opportunity to explain themselves to you first. Frankly, if you don't have the spine to have that conversation with the salon owner face to face, forget about launching a smear campaign. You aren't mature enough to be holding anyone accountable for anything. Be aware of the consequences. Before you move forward, ask yourself if you're ready to be fired, because you very likely will be. So have a plan to file a retaliation complaint. You should also keep in mind that you will be exposing a bad employer in a very public way, and that other employers in your area will most definitely hear about it. However, if you're truly not willing to tolerate exploitation and unlawful employment arrangements, the fact that your actions will cause other bad salon owners to blacklist you shouldn't be a problem. You may actually catch the attention of an ethical salon owner who would love to have you. In any case, you can expect to be served with a cease and desist letter. Cease and desist letters are not court orders. Understand that a cease and desist letter is nothing more than a scary-looking notice sent by the other party's attorney designed to intimidate you into doing what the other party wants. Essentially, they say, stop doing what you're doing, or else. The letter should have legal merit, but it may not. Consider it a cautionary notice, a threat that may not be fulfilled, especially if the person who sent it doesn't have the tiniest bit of actual legal leverage. The language within the letter may sound official. You will likely be accused of committing some crime, but an accusation is not a conviction. The other party will have to prove that you committed a crime in court, which will be difficult at best if you haven't actually done so. If the person who sent you the cease and desist has committed labor abuses and tax evasion, the very last place they are going to want to end up is in court against you. A whistleblower is an employee who reports a violation of the law by his or her employer. Read up on the defamation laws in your state. Generally, for a defamation claim to stand, the accused must have malicious intent and/or the accusations made against the other party must be false. As a general rule, if you are telling the truth, you are not committing defamation. Additionally, defending your civil rights, which include your employment rights, and questioning or speaking out against unlawful employment practices is often considered protected speech under the NLRA and a variety of other whistleblower protections. Never lie, strategically omit information, or exaggerate your claim. When you're calling attention to someone's unlawful or shameful behavior, your credibility is everything. All of your arguments become invalid the second you're caught lying or stretching the facts, so stick to the truth. The burden of proof rests on the shoulders of the accuser. If the other party accuses you of defamation, they will have to prove you are lying. Similarly, you must be capable of proving that they actually committed a crime against you. Save those receipts and never say anything you can't prove with actual evidence. For example, my boss stole $10,000 from my paycheck this year and violated prevailing wage laws, but I don't have proof, is likely defamation. However, if you say, my boss stole $10,000 from my paycheck this year, here is the offer letter showing my compensation agreement. Here are the pay stubs showing the deductions and proving that my pay routinely fell below the prevailing minimum wage. These are the statutes that were violated. Here are the screenshots of her text messages admitting she took the money and will never give it back. That is highly unlikely to ever be considered defamation. You're telling the truth, you're providing verification of your claims. Keep calm, keep it short, and stick to the facts. If you choose to proceed, let me do you the favor of telling you that nobody wants to hear your whole life story. Nobody cares how you met the owner, what you think of how she dresses or manages the business, how the vein in her forehead throbs when she's mad, how you became a professional, or any of the other minute and completely irrelevant details you believe add flavor and context to your story. None of that matters. You aren't trying to persuade anyone to pity you or like you. No matter how angry or distraught you are, leave your emotions out of it. And this is something that I personally get irritated by, because I receive so many emails and comments. And don't get me wrong, I understand and I sympathize, and I get that people feel the need to vent about everything in like kind of like all at once. So I will get these emails that are just huge walls of text and only maybe five sentences of it are actually relevant. Don't be that person. If you want people to see your post and listen to what you have to say and take you seriously, don't waste their time. By all means, write it all out. Put whatever you need to on paper to kind of help ease your rage. But once you're done with that, delete everything that isn't factual and relevant to the problem that you're having. Follow this format. State your name, your position, your tenure, at the salon name and the salon location. Give the owner's name, state your accusation, provide your proof and the statutes that are relevant, make your demands, do your tags and hashtags. For example, my name is June Whistleblower. I worked as a stylist for 3 years at Fictional Salon in Faketown, Florida. The owner of Fictional Salon, Susie McFakeface, unlawfully deducted and withheld $13,225 of my wages in violation of state law 38.3948. Misclassified myself and my coworkers as independent contractors when we were very clearly employees in violation of both state and federal employment classification laws, paid myself and my coworkers commission only and did not guarantee prevailing wage or overtime compliance in violation of state and federal wage laws. I sent Ms. McFakeface an email about the violations with links to the statutes on Wednesday, June 25th. After speaking with Ms. McFakeface privately on Friday, June 27th, she refused to pay and fired me. She has since sent several threatening text messages after I repeatedly told her to stop contacting me. I've attached images of my original employment agreement, pay stubs, sales reports, the email sent on Wednesday, and the text messages to prove my claim. Customers and professionals in the Faketown area need to be aware that Susie McFakeface at Fictional Salon has been and apparently plans to continue to steal from and exploit her employees. Your real power lies in your tags, hashtags, and shares. Tag relevant people, pages, and organizations. Hashtag relevant topics. Share your post to relevant groups and other places where it will be seen by people who matter, like local employee rights organizations and labor authorities. For example, at your local news channel, at local news station, at Department of Labor, at state attorney's name, at local employment law firm, hashtag city town, hashtag workers' rights, hashtag wage theft, hashtag employment law. Just don't let your narrative go off the rails. Don't make legal threats or personal attacks. Facts, evidence, demands. Do not stray from the formula or you'll risk A, seeming petty or unstable, and B, committing defamation. Wage theft has frequently been referred to as the crime wave that almost nobody talks about. Let me put this bluntly. You are being stolen from. Your rights are being violated. These practices are an actual epidemic in this industry and will continue to create toxicity that poisons the entire profession. Stop allowing yourself to believe that you don't matter and that you don't have the power to make change. You absolutely do. You have every legal right to demand that your employers comply with the laws that protect and defend your wages and freedoms. Where is your outrage? What are you afraid of? I receive thousands of emails, comments, and messages from beauty workers every single year. I read and reply to every one of them. For nearly a decade, I've been pushing professionals to take action, but very few are willing. What most professionals are doing right now, tolerating it quietly, complaining to their friends, and never filing or following up on complaints, is not working. Frankly, I'm tired of the excuses. People seem to have all the time in the world to complain about the abuses they suffer, so don't tell me you don't have the time to complain to the one person who needs to hear it or to bring the issue to the attention of the public and demand that someone answer for what they've done to you. Before you say, "Oh, but I need a job," sure you do, but I would argue that nobody needs a job where their wages are being stolen and their rights are being violated. Recognize that by accepting these practices, you are endorsing them. You are allowing them to continue and are therefore complicit in your own exploitation and the continuance of crimes that harm everyone in this business. If you truly want the industry to become a better workplace for everyone, accept the fact that you are not above working in other industries while you're looking for a legal employment arrangement. I love this business more than most, and the thought of working in a different industry doesn't appeal to me either, but I have more pride and respect for myself than to tolerate a salon owner who believes they're entitled to steal from me for their own gain. Quit allowing yourself to be used. These practices have fractured our industry, contributing to the delegitimization that makes it all too easy for legislators to dismiss us and deregulate our professions. So I will ask you again, where is your outrage? Professionals, if you want to see change happen in this industry, make criminal salon owners scared of you. Terrify them with your education and your fearlessness. Refuse their job offers, challenge their illegal practices, hold them accountable by filing reports, and let them see what happens to exploitative business owners who steal from and abuse beauty professionals by sharing their shameful actions with the public. Bring these practices out of the shadows and force these owners to explain themselves to their family, their friends, and their customers. We have tried playing nice. Change won't happen on its own. We have to make people uncomfortable. We have to apply pressure. We have to talk to the media, talk to the public, and stop being complicit ourselves. Ask questions, demand answers, and blow the whistle. Stop giving those who victimize you a free pass to walk away without consequence. Let me tell you how not here for this shit I am. I understand that outing somebody on social media like this has the potential to ruin their lives. This is not the same as somebody innocent who goes viral for instance, getting super drunk and dancing naked in the middle of the street. This is not that situation. These people aren't innocent, and we should not feel bad about holding them accountable. We shouldn't feel any more badly about it than we do about people whose lives are ruined when they're acting like aggressive racists or when they're assaulting women and get thrown to the ground. If that ruins their life, good. I'm glad. That's the point. They earned it. Why would we feel bad about that? Is that unfortunate? Sure. Maybe that's something they should have considered before they did whatever it was that they did. People's actions have consequences. The entire point of doing something like this is to deter other people from doing it and to punish the person responsible. I mean, really ask yourselves, did they think about the consequences of what they were doing to you when they were taking money out of your paychecks and forcing you to pay all of your taxes while treating you like an employee? Did they give a crap about the fact that you weren't going to be able to pay your bills with your $60 paycheck or your $200 paycheck? No, they don't care. So why should you? I look forward to the never-ending wave of hate mail I'm going to get after this. Anyways, have you ever filed a complaint against an exploitative salon owner or held them accountable in some other way? Did you speak to the media or social media? What happened? I would love to hear about it in the comments of this post. Just know, comments are all moderated on Mondays. Thanks for listening. See you next time.